to verse 31. Romans 3:31. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just a few moments ago, we once again heard the Ten Commandments read to us. This happens every Sunday without fail. Why does that happen? Is it simply tradition? Now, it's true that it is a tradition, especially in Reformed churches. But it's not just a tradition. We saw that recently when dealing with the catechism preaching. The law of God is found throughout Scripture. It's assumed throughout Scripture in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's very basic. And Scripture really, really stresses the law of God as vitally important for people to hear, to ponder, to think about, to meditate on. Now, it's very easy for us to agree with this stress. It's scriptural. Our world truly needs to know the law of God. In fact, it's so sad that our culture more and more ignores God's law and even goes so far as calling God's law outdated, bigoted, hateful, and other matters. But do you notice what we thereby tend to do? We easily divert the piercing light of God's law. We divert the rays away from ourselves and we put it on our culture. And then we allow ourselves to shake our head at this world. What an awful culture. But beloved, that is not what our God wants. Notice how in the Ten Commandments, He does not simply pass on information and inform us saying, you know, I do not want people serving other gods. I don't like to see murder going on. I don't like it when my Sabbath is ignored or when societies even make it part of their structure to allow for stealing and gambling and lying. No, but He speaks the Ten Commandments directly to His people, to you and to me. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not take my name in vain. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. Think of the situation at Mount Sinai. God spoke these words directly, Himself, very pointedly to His people that were assembled in front of the mountain. And thereby God, what He did, He brought these words home very closely, very deeply. True, the commandments of my law are relevant for every single person in this whole wide world, for every single culture. But my people, they're most intensely for you. If anyone should listen to them, if anyone should ponder them, study them, look at their life in the light of them, it's you. each of you, not just the mass of you together, but each of you very personally, very intimately. You should look at yourself in the deeds that you did this past week, in your thinking, where your minds went, in your aspirations, in your loyalties. If you think about it, what calling are we touching on here? Beloved, this is the calling to examine ourselves. Now, typically, we associate self-examination with the Lord's Supper, and that's not wrong. But this calling comes to us especially in the law. Our God, time and time again, calls us to examine ourselves, to have a close look at my actions, at my words, at where my mind goes, to have a close look at myself, at how I'm actually truly doing, also deep down in those areas of life that we keep hidden from others, that we sometimes even keep hidden from ourselves. And we're called to take inventory of ourselves, perhaps also with the help of others, so that we can see about ourselves what we ourselves don't see. And to truly heed this calling, which is very pervasive, that's not something we naturally do. But what it leads to, beloved, to heed that calling, what that leads to, is so good for us. And allow me to list 5 good fruits that come from this. First of all, to do that, it pushes you, when you look at your own life against the standard of God's law, it pushes you to an ever-deepening appreciation for the work of our Savior. He had to bear the wrath of God against the sins of the whole human race. Every one of my sins too. Also this past week, to save you and to save me. He had to keep all the commandments of God in all their applications perfectly in every situation. Just imagine doing that in this hostile world. Imagine being willing to do that, not for the sake of yourself, but for the sake of others around you who are so incredibly selfish, hurtful. Secondly, it stimulates faith and trust. Look what my Savior was willing to do for me. Look what He in fact did, how He took on Satan himself, and therefore my sinful nature, death itself. Look how He never let anyone down. Look at His unflinching love for God and the depth of His care for others, even while He was hanging there on a cross. Truly, I can rely, I can trust in Him alone and in Him completely. Thirdly, what this does, it also shields you from self-righteousness. Only when you honestly confront the depth of your selfishness and your substandardness, especially in your inner world, we can make the outer world look not too badly at times. But only when you look honestly at the depths of your selfishness and substandardness do you see that there is simply not a chance that we can earn the favor of Holy God. And therefore, any basis for self-righteousness is completely gone. And fourthly, it also thereby pushes out of your life something called pride. Yes, also that damaging pride that can come out even in your service of your Savior, even within the communion of saints. Pride can raise its head very quickly. And instead, examining yourself in the light of God's law, what happens instead? Instead, your pride is pushed out and you're filled with a winsome and a salutary humility. Humility which is so important for yourself, which is so helpful in shaping you into a truly effective instrument in the hands of the Spirit in all different kinds of situations. Humility, which is so winsome in your marriage, in your family, in the communion of saints, and yes, in society generally, also here in the town of Dunville. And fifthly, let me end on this one. To truly hear this calling to examine ourselves also drives us to see something so incredibly beautiful about our God. And that's this: our God is not a God who gives up on us. Perhaps you've been brought up in a good home, and now you're older, and you're looking back in your life. And as you reflect, you get a growing sense of appreciation for your parents. No, my parents were not perfect. But looking back, I was so often so stubborn. I so often gave my parents a rough time. And I now realize I put a lot of the gray hairs on their head. And yet, they never gave up on me. That's beautiful. It's beautiful to come to that. At the same time, beloved, that it's but a faint reflection of the depth of the patience and the mercy of our God for His children. And now think very specifically of this past week in your life. How short you have fallen again in your relationships, in your handling of blessings, in your handling of hardships, in true godliness. Think about that. Let me give you a moment to really ponder that now. And as the reality hits you, what do you hear your Father saying to you? I'm done with you. No. Rather, my son, my daughter, I know. And now have a close look at this bread and this wine. This broken bread symbolizes the broken body of my son. This wine symbolizes the poured out blood, the sacrifice of my son. And now I'm giving them also to you to eat, to drink, to take in, to assure you, as surely as you eat this piece of bread and drink this sip of wine, so surely I have washed away all your sins by the blood of my son. So surely I reckon his obedience, again, think of that. I reckon his obedience to your account, in spite of how you lived this past week. I will not abandon you, but keep at you and give you the food and drink for life eternal. Beloved, come and taste and see that our God does not give up. Hallelujah. Amen.